BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Friday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast, More Real or No Real. Also, the reality shows that you've applied for and then bottled it last minute. Alan Shearer visits us to talk FA Cup. He also picks our bangers. And Troy Sivan is live in the studio talking about his new album and the presenter at Radio 1 that he really fancies.
This is
the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Scott Mills.
Morning! Wow, I've just got here.
Good morning, Scott.
This is literally the latest I've ever been for a show ever.
You walked in like an absolute megastar just then. You did. You know what? You did have an air of Prince about you in the way that you walked in. It was proper, proper swish.
I've not been to the loo. I've not called my mum. All the things I normally do before a show.
I would argue, though, you were 2 minutes late, because surely you start at 6:30, and you did walk in during the news, so I'll make sure 2 minutes is docked.
I did book a cab, but they didn't turn up. So just kind of walked here. No, I didn't. Booked another cab.
That would be amazing. Can you imagine if you did that?
I've not even done my pre-show spritz. Hang on a second.
I dread to think how else you're going to get ready.
I always like to spray myself with something nice before the show, so there we are.
Are you going to brush your teeth?
Done. Brushed my teeth already. Tell you what, I don't feel organised. We've got a massive show today.
So, so good today, Scott.
Loads going on, including, I mean, this must be a moment for you, Alan Shearer on the show later.
I used to do his celebration in the playground when I used to play football. It's quite easy to do. It's one arm in the air. In fact, we should get you to do it to him. That would be decent.
Okay. And also, Troy Sivan coming later. And loads more stuff. We'll start off with The Weeknd and Blonde and Craig David. It's Friday.
This is
the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Scott Mills.
Here's the thing. Did you see The Queen at 90 last night? Late.
Is that the one with the home movies?
Absolutely incredible.
Oh, it was nuts, wasn't it? It was like Gogglebox.
Yeah, that's the first thing that came to my mind. Basically, it was the royals doing Gogglebox on themselves. I mean, incredible scenes. If you didn't see this, you must watch it on iPlayer later. Basically, the royals doing Gogglebox. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
It was really strange. So it had Prince William and Prince Harry watching old footage that has never been seen before in public. So at one point, they're watching their gramps going down a hill on a go-kart, right? And they're talking all about it. It's just really strange seeing them talk about their own family.
Yeah, and also William and Harry were watching all of the royals have a group photo. And then Prince Philip gets up within 3 seconds and they're like, oh, Grandpa, you only get 3 shots with Grandpa and he always leaves. That's so good. I just felt like they were really kind of normal and that they were just, it was weird.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe. And I can understand why they would be. They're naturally sort of guarded in interviews and maybe feel like they've always got to say certain things or wary about saying certain things. And with this, because they were just talking amongst themselves, you sort of got more involved because of it and you saw more of their kind of honest life.
I just don't feel like I've ever seen them like that before. Did you see the Queen and Prince Charles watch doing Gogglebox as well?
No, I must have missed this bit.
Queen...
So she was watching as well?
The Queen and Charles were watching themselves on a screen, on TV.
Oh, right, so I only saw half of it. So this must have happened a bit later on, right?
Right, so they're watching... Prince Charles, when he was a lot younger, on this kind of like water slide on the Royal Yacht Britannia. And the Queen is like laughing out loud, going, ha, that slide was always very popular. It's mad. I couldn't believe what I was seeing last night.
I didn't know the Queen was on it.
The Queen was doing Gogglebox.
Oh, that's so cool.
So good. Happy birthday for yesterday, Your Majesty.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I've just showed Chris the clip of Prince Charles going down the slide on the yacht.
It's so strange to see.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
But brilliant.
Prince Charles having a lovely time on the slide.
And then the Queen and Prince Charles watching it going, oh, those were the days. Listen to this. This is what they were saying when they were watching it.
Yes, you see, I got quite a long way.
Well, I think you were big enough and heavy enough to get further than anybody else.
Well, Papa could get quite a long way. Mm.
But that slide was very popular.
It's amazing.
I love it.
It's like Gogglebox.
It is. It's so good. I loved it last night. It was like unlimited access. So good. So yesterday on the show, we were talking about, and we got a massive reaction, about people that apply for reality shows and you think, oh, yeah, it'll be fine, when you fill in the form, and then last minute, you absolutely bottle it because you just think, what am I doing?
Well, at the start, you just like the idea of it, don't you? You're going to be on TV, probably somewhere nice, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like someone that I know that applied for Love Island, filled in the form. She was single at the time, now got a boyfriend. But at the time, you're just like, oh, it'd be nice, I can spend 6 weeks with Caroline Flack in Mallorca. Mm. You don't really think of the consequences. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Has this happened to you?
Yeah, unfortunately it has, yes. And it's a really bad reality TV show as well.
What's it called?
Married at First Sight.
Oh, no, I love that one.
I love watching it, but I'm not sure now that I want to be a part of it.
Now, what actually happens on Married at First Sight if people don't know?
Okay, so I've watched the US version, and basically a lot of people from different sexes apply. They do lots and lots of, like, psychological testing. They interview you. They do loads of sexual testing and stuff, ask you loads of questions, and they try and match you. But you don't get to see your match until the day of your wedding.
What's a sexual test?
That's a good question. Well, like, your compatibility, so... Wow. Yeah, that... Apparently.
So you watched the US version, you thought this is a great show.
Yeah, when I first watched it, I had to watch it because I thought it just sounded awful. But in the end, two out of the three couples that they married stayed together, and they're still together now, apparently.
So you don't meet the date until you're walking down the aisle and then you have to marry them?
Pretty much, yeah. That's the first time you see them when they're standing at the other end of the aisle, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, but that's why people are still together. It's because it's not like... It's not like you win a date at the end. It's a massive commitment right at the end of it.
Yeah, you have to be committed.
But you've never met them before.
I know, but technically they must be the right person for you because you match on so many levels.
No,
yeah.
I'm not having that.
Yeah, that's why I backed out because I couldn't do it.
But so what happened in your experience?
Well, for some reason, after watching the US version, I applied and didn't expect to hear anything, but they rang me back, had a nice chat with a lady, and then she basically said, right, you've got till next week, tell all your friends, all your family, get their approval. You have to tell your employer what you're doing, and they need to allow the film crew to come round and film you at work.
Oh, stress.
So all round, I just couldn't do it. I didn't tell my parents. I told a friend or two. They had mixed reviews. And in the end, I just thought, no. And I had to get married in June, which is really soon. I wasn't ready.
Anna, really good to speak to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. BBC
Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning, Scott.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. What's your job, please?
I am a social media and marketing manager for a mobile phone and tablet with hair company.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh. Something I say a lot, isn't it?
So do you ever get really bored of going on social media because it's your job?
No, because people are constantly entertaining.
My favourites at the moment are the Kardashians in Iceland.
Oh, are they skiing at the moment?
No, it's for Kourtney's birthday. I think she's like 37. So they've gone to Iceland. They're just in all the hot tubs. All the glaciers.
Oh. Yeah, have you seen what Kanye's wearing?
No, is he there?
Yeah, he's there as well, wearing high viz.
I can't. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he looks like he's about to tarmac the M3.
Are you ready for today's Real or No Real?
I certainly am.
Let's play.
Pigeons put off doing things they don't want to do, even if it causes problems later on.
That sounds like something you'd see on a motivational poster.
That sounds like... A lot of people I know are part pigeon.
Yeah. So imagine you're a pigeon, you're in bed in the morning, you're like, oh, I can't be bothered to go to pigeon work today. So you give them a call on the pigeon phone. Hello, boss. It's me, pigeon. I'm not coming in today. I'm really ill. I just can't be bothered.
That's just a lazy pigeon. He'll get away with missing work.
So the fact says They put off doing things they don't want to do, even if it causes problems later on.
Yes.
But like, what? What is going on in a pigeon's life that it's going to be that drastic? Like, if I don't eat this breadcrumb now, Marjorie is going to be really annoyed later on. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's more like, Mummy Pigeon told me if I don't clear up the nest, I'm going to get in loads and loads of trouble.
This is one of the most ridiculous facts we've had on Real or No Real, but I'm enjoying it.
It is kind of ridiculous. We're all trying to get into the psyche of a pigeon.
Yes, we are.
To figure out what might be going on in their mind.
Well, you know my theory, don't you? And I've had this for years, that they are plotting something.
Pigeons.
Well, they're always around. They're always where everybody is. So they're always where it's busiest.
No, but if you look at them, they're having like little secret conversations with each other. They are plotting to do something. I don't know what it is, but it's probably take over the world eventually.
Probably. They're really, really confident as well. You run towards them and they will wait until the last possible second.
They never used to be like that. Honestly, I got sniffed up by a pigeon the other day. Straight up sniffing.
So clearly they're not putting off like sniffed up, sniffing people up. They like that. They're
no,
like,
I'm going
to be creepy before cleaning up the nest.
No, I don't think the pigeons are creepy. I think Scott's right. I think they're up to something.
They are up to something.
They're just
That's
smelling
creepy.
Out the enemy.
Yeah, and they're really shady with it as well. So, do pigeons put off doing things they don't want to do, even if it causes problems later on, real or no real?
No real.
I just don't really see what the dramas are in pigeon world. So I think this is no real.
That one is real.
No, it isn't.
So some breeds of pigeon are extremely lazy and they just don't care. And they won't even do it, even if they're asked. Particularly the trumpeter and English fantail breeds. Look out for them. Lazy.
That is ridiculous.
And next.
A restaurant has opened that only serves lasagna.
Right.
This is such a good day. Is this... Please be real.
Now, if this is real, this is going to become Chris's new favourite place because he loves lasagna.
I love lasagna.
Lasagna's amazing. You like Garfield?
Yes, Garfield likes lasagna as well. But
he loves lasagna.
Oi, I well like lasagna. So here's the thing.
I well likes it.
Several different types of lasagna. Because I assume if there's a restaurant for it, it must be whole different lasagnas.
Oh, my God, like lasagna experimentation.
One of the first things that I knew about Chris when we first met was that he was such a fan of lasagna. It's something that always, every time I think of it or I see it on in a supermarket shelf, yeah, you do come into my mind. I just associate the two.
Yeah, I tried to eat it for lunch every day, but then Scott told me it was bad for me.
Yeah.
Well, if it's good for your soul, Chris, then I think you should do whatever you like.
Yeah, but honey was bloating.
Honey was not bloating.
It was not cute.
Don't talk to me like I'm on the cover of a trashy magazine. So what's going on in the restaurant then? Is it just a lazy restaurant?
What, like pigeons?
Yeah. Run by pigeons.
Run by pigeons.
I wasn't aware that you could have loads of different types of lasagna.
Well, you can, but
I mean, you've got to have vegetarian and then normal type.
Well, you can also get seafood lasagna. You can get all different types of lasagna.
I suppose. I feel like lasagna is not even a word anymore because we've all said it too much.
Oh, do you know what? I would love a lasagna right now. But the thing is, you can't really do delivery lasagna, especially at this time of the day.
Sure you can.
I think you can.
Where?
No, I
Where?
Think you can.
It's not like a pizza place, is it?
No, but like there's...
But I'm talking about a proper lasagna takeaway. A bit like a pizza takeaway where they only do lasagnas and they deliver.
So they have like a little lasagna as their logo and they're driving around on their little moped, like lasagnas in the back and everything like that.
Yeah, that's it. So if true, I reckon you're probably going to be visiting this place quite soon.
Definitely. If this is real, I'm going to be such a happy guy.
So is it real or not?
I'm going to go real then.
Lizzie?
I think just because Chris is so passionate about it and I want it to be real for him, I'm going to say real.
That one is real.
Yes!
Yes!
Where is this place?
Okay, it's in London. It's called Mr. Lasagna.
Oh, yes.
Check this, Chris.
Oh, genius name.
It's opened up and offers 21 varieties of lasagna. Cheese, carbs, cheese, carbs, cheese and carbs.
Delicious.
And finally...
Taylor Swift has individually named her kitchen appliances after famous pop stars.
That's amazing.
Now, Ed Sheeran, I know, has names for all his guitars, but they're not pop star names. They're just called things like Fred and Eric.
He's quite down to earth, though, isn't he? So that's probably why.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were T-Swizzle, you would just have, like, your kitchen appliances. Like, I'm just going to turn Beyonce on and make my toast, and I'm going to go over here and make sure that Rihanna is on, like, 360 degrees Fahrenheit and the fan's on.
And also, remember this week... Vogue magazine were invited into her house and we had a little tour of her Beverly Hills apartment. Well, actually, it's a bungalow. If you can imagine Taylor Swift in a bungalow. It's a really nice bungalow, yeah?
So is she doing it like puns?
Like Justin the Juicer for Justin Bieber?
Yeah, 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 that yeah. kind of thing.
Or it could be like, it could relate to the pop star song. So, for instance, Jason Derulo could be the washing machine and then you could fill it with dirty sheets.
Ah, yes, song titles.
Oh, genius. Mm,
song titles make it easier to do. So then you can have Mr. Probs for the microwave after wave.
So is it true? Does Taylor Swift have famous pop stars as her kitchen appliances? She's named them after famous pop stars. Chris?
I think this is a very Swifty thing to do. I can imagine her and her friends, her sort of harem, having hours of fun playing around with the different appliances.
The squad would love it.
Oh, the squad would love it. So I think this is real.
I'm going to say no real.
That one is no real.
Yes!
Yes!
I don't take this seriously at all.
Taylor hasn't named her kitchen appliances after pop stars, although when Vogue magazine were invited into her house, they did spot that her spatulas were named after her and were emblazoned with a T and an S for Taylor Swift. At the end of that round of Real or No Real...
It's the first time I've lost this week. I got 10, Yay. Lizzie got 20.
Go on, Lizzie.
Yes, I'm such a winner. I feel great. It's just made my week.
Good. Okay, well, listen, you have a good Friday, y'all.
You too.
Thanks for playing.
Thank you for having me.
Love you, bye. The Scott Mills Daily. Ah, oh, my favourite Meghan Trainor, No, coming up. Do I get, like, extra sassy when that's on?
Even I get a little bit extra sassy.
Yeah, you do that, like, finger thing, like, girlfriend.
I'd love to see Alan Shearer get a bit sassy. Do you know what I mean? I mean, maybe we should save it for him and video what happens.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Maybe we just play it to him off air and then just, like, put it on Snapchat or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how he'd react, but I'd love it if he sort of broke free.
Just for a minute.
Yeah.
Alan Shearer is coming to talk about all things FA Cup at 9 a.m. this morning. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. Junaid is here and mostly dominated by the sad news about Prince.
Yes, indeed. He was 57 and died yesterday at his home in Minneapolis. Now, there have been street parties all over the states. Some are still going on now, in fact, for the man who sold more than 100 million records worldwide. That's putting it at the same level as Adele and Bruno Mars, but it's the amount of albums he put out that is just absolutely crazy. He released 39 studio albums, so then loads more live albums and compilations, and four that he released in the last 18 months. Back in 2007, he played 21 sold-out nights at the O2 in London. So that's 52 and a half hours on stage, 504 songs to audiences of 500,000.
I actually went to that.
Yeah. Did you?
I went to that with Alan Carr.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of the best nights of my life.
Yeah.
So good.
That's so many albums, but I assume there's loads of stuff that hasn't been released as well.
Yeah, there'll be more. I'm sure there's lots more to come. But it was during the 80s and 90s that he was kind of at the height of his fame and success with all these tracks that are so famous now, Purple Rain, When Doves Cry, Cream, 1999. But he also wrote for so many other people, which I'm not sure how aware many people are about this. Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You is a Prince song, and Kiss by the Art of Noise and Tom Jones, that was written by Prince as well. And he continued throughout his life to work with various artists. You may remember a few years ago he played a gig at Leanne LaHavis's flat in North London to announce an upcoming tour. Most recently, he's been working with Rita Ora, and she paid a lovely tribute to him on her Instagram. This is coming from a place I never knew existed in my heart, she wrote. You were so special to me, your presence, the music we created, the dance-off we used to have, the laughing we shared. The funk oozing out of you was uncontrollable.
I saw Justin Timberlake as well. He put a really nice tribute on and was just saying that he was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, as a person, but also to work with, a complete genius.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. And Bruno Mars, another one. Prince, you're one of my heroes, and no one can tell me otherwise, not even you. And that's next to a picture of a handwritten note from Prince to Bruno, saying, may your only heroes be God and yourself peace be wild.
Wow.
Katy Perry, she tweeted, "And just like that, the world lost a lot of magic. Nick Jonas, one of my biggest inspirations, a true icon. You will be missed." And then Zooey Deschanel, "Prince was a true gentleman, a king among men. He was as sharp and as talented as they come. I'm so glad I was lucky enough to work with him because he was on an episode of New Girl."
Right, so apparently, I was reading about this yesterday, he absolutely loved New Girl,
yeah,
like, a lot. So didn't they write a whole episode around him?
Yeah, they were like, cool, you want to be on the show? We'll make a whole episode.
Of course
so
you would.
Here's a little clip. This is when he first came on, and he's meeting the two of the main characters, Jess and Nick, who are obviously completely stunned, which is why there are a few little silences.
Hi. I'm Prince. So what seems to be the problem? Oh, how rude of me. I haven't given you enough time to freak out yet. You may do so now.
Oh my God! You may do so now. Amazing.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, lots of other hilarious, brilliant moments from Prince. Do you remember the time he kicked Kim Kardashian off stage in New York in 2011?
Oh, yes.
So he brought her on and wanted to dance with her, and he's kind of getting all, like, you know, groovy, and she just stands there completely motionless. Why would you do that? Anyway, so then this happened.
Get off the stage!
So at this point, she's walking off stage with her head between her legs. Oh, that's... But, like, you wouldn't...
Get off the stage.
Get off the stage.
Ask you to get on stage. You dance, right? And then, just one of the most incredible moments, his duet with Beyoncé in 2004 at the Grammy Awards. That's widely regarded as one of the best Grammy performances ever. And she gave an interview after that where she spoke about how terrified she was of it. She says she was nervous, starstruck, overwhelmed. But he really helped her out because she was quite sort of early on in her solo career then. So it's kind of weird to think of Beyoncé being starstruck or, like, terrified, yeah, of anything. But there she was. Now, there's loads of great articles around about Prince's favourite quotes. He, like, just some of them are brilliant. My two personal favourites. I went to see the Jackson 5 when I was a kid and they all wore flat shoes and it didn't work. It's obviously another thing he was very famous for were all of the platform shoes he wore, like Bejeweled and all the rest of it. And yeah, then the other one, money won't buy happiness but it'll pay for the search.
Love. So, I mean, you must have seen online last night all the tributes from so many stars saying that he was just a huge inspiration to so many of today's music artists. In every part of popular music, I think you can hear his influence today still. And he just leaves behind an amazing legacy and a massive back catalogue of incredible pop music. If you have never listened to Prince before, or you don't know much about him or about his music, look it up today. Look him up and look his music up, and I promise you will love it. He was a complete inspiration to so many people in so many ways and was actually really ahead of his time. Listen to this song. Listen how fresh and really quite modern it sounds. And then think about the fact that this song is 30 years old. This is Prince and Kiss on Radio 1. Sounded unreal, Prince and Kiss on BBC Radio 1.
You're so right, though, when you hear it like that, and it's... I haven't heard that for ages, and then obviously you heard it a couple of times last night, and it does sound so ahead of its time. I didn't know it was 30 years ago, Scott.
Right, yeah, because, like, if you listen to a lot of songs from 30 years ago, so what's that, 1986?
Yeah.
86! They sound rubbish! That sounds amazing still. Even from the, like, the... It's so good.
Yeah.
30 years old. That is Prince and Kiss on BBC Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning, Troy Sivan.
Good morning.
How are you? You right?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good. If you want to see our chat, by the way, cameras are on the Radio 1 website. You're in one of your favourite places in the world, the UK.
I am, yeah. And this is like one of my favourite studios in the world. I love coming to see you guys.
Do you?
Everyone's very, very nice, very funny and cool.
You see, I see interviews that you've done from radio stations kind of all over the world.
Right.
So for you to say that this is your favourite?
No, I really get excited. Place. Plus, I was saying in the car, I have a huge crush on Kel Spellman.
Do you really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is about him, but my hands are sweating thinking about him.
Right, okay.
Are you joking?
And I'm seeing him later today. No, I swear to God, I'm not joking. I've thought about this, like, I thought about it when I saw it in my calendar a couple of weeks ago. I was like, ooh, Kel.
You just had a thing, like, ooh, yeah, Kel.
Yeah.
Okay, so is he interviewing you later?
I don't really know what we're doing. I hope he's not listening.
Oh, this is my favourite.
He's probably listening.
Yeah.
He reminds me of, like, Maddie from the 1975, who's like my ultimate celebrity crush.
Yeah.
Just like the long-ish, like sort of greasy looking hair.
Yeah.
that's what it is.
Kel, he just loves your greasy look.
Yeah.
I've never heard of anyone, or I've never seen anyone come on Radio 1 and talk so openly about fancying a Radio 1 DJ.
Why not?
I've just never seen
it. It's a bit predatory. I sort of regret it now.
I love it's like the first thing you say is it's like, where's
Kel? Good morning, where's Kel?
Yeah. Hi, Scott. Hi, Chris. Where's Kel? I want to know, when did you realise that you had a talent for music? Because obviously you've been doing YouTube for so long.
Yeah.
When did you start kind of performing? Or were you one of those babies that were like out of the womb and then went, ma?
Pretty much that. I sort of just like sung around the house and stuff like that. And then, I used to just like sing for literally anyone who would listen. And like my parents would have dinner parties and stuff like that. And I was always like, you know, I'd make everyone stop eating dinner and like listen to me sing and stuff.
I used to pretend to DJ.
Right.
To my mum.
Pretend. What did that actually look like? Like, what did you do?
Well, I just used to have just some tunes lined up, and the only audience was my mum, who was making dinner.
Right.
But
that's cool.
I was being a DJ, you know?
Yeah, he'd use two plates as decks.
Yeah.
Oh.
And just, I didn't.
So did your parents think that you had something special?
I think they were probably like the first people who sort of like told me that I could sing. And so then I started going to singing lessons when I was like 7 and started doing like school talent shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then they also, I went busking like on the street and stuff like that in Perth, did that a little bit. Yeah, okay. All of it.
You've said before that you share everything with the internet. Is that still the case or do you keep a little bit back now?
I think I keep a little bit back. I think I've always kept a little bit back, but just sort of like, you know, really, really like personal stuff, like family and stuff like that. You know, I like to kind of keep just to myself. I don't know. I've sort of like grown to value that more and more as, you know, as I've gotten older.
So what don't you share? Family is one of them.
Family. I try not to talk about like relationship stuff. Except for my crush on Kel.
Yeah.
That's an exception. Other than that, sort of just like, that's really it. And then as well, I like to just like take breaks every now and then from I guess everything in general, like from the internet. I'll take like a day where I just sort of don't really use it that much.
Do people, like, if you do take a day off because you've been so active for years, do people get annoyed? Like, where's the latest post?
They think I've died. Most of the time everyone thinks I'm dead. Like a lot of the time people think I'm dead.
What, just because you haven't put something
on
for a day?
One time my mum actually got so upset because everyone started being like, hashtag RIP and everything like that.
Oh my word.
Oh, that's awful.
And that's crazy.
And the thing is about Twitter or something like that, if one person puts it, someone else sees it, it's easy to see how it then goes off.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
No, everyone just got a bit carried away.
Just because you were like, just probably having a bath.
I was definitely in the bath just like pruning.
When you're a YouTuber first and then you release music, do you find that there's... Is there like a stigma attached where people don't take you seriously as a music artist?
100%, yeah. I think, you know, I think it's something that's like changing, which, you know, and I think it's going to change more and more. You know, obviously YouTube is like completely the future and more people are being discovered online and everything like that. And I think it just kind of has to happen more before people stop, you know, attaching that stigma to it. And it'll keep happening. So I'm not too stressed about it, but it was definitely there.
Yeah.
It probably still is, yeah.
Do you have to remind yourself to put stuff online sometimes, or is it second nature because you've always done it?
It's second nature, but it's second nature when I'm sort of like not super, super busy. You know, if I have like the day off, I'll tweet like 100 times without even thinking about it. But
and you tweet fans a lot as well.
Yeah, no, I love it. I really, really love, like, for me, it genuinely has always been about the conversation. And I think that my audience is like absolutely the funniest, like coolest people in the world. And so talking to them is like, it's so, so, so fun to me. But it's sort of like texting my friends, you know what I mean? In that, like, if I'm super, super slammed at work or whatever, then I you know, won't really get a chance. But then as soon as I'm free, it's like, it's all on.
With YouTube, are you fans of any new YouTubers? Because I think there was a certain point where certain YouTubers have now become so massive that actually they're in their own kind of league. And I think there's so many people that still sign up to YouTube and think that they, well, they want to achieve that kind of level.
Yeah. Right.
And do you see those people?
Yeah, I do every now and then. I'm trying to think, to be honest, I don't really watch that much YouTube anymore. I think my favorites are still, I think like my favorites are still, like there's this girl, Natalie Tran from Australia, community channel, who's been making videos since before I started making videos. And she's like still my favorite. But yeah, I don't know. I to me, like the numbers now are absolutely, like there's people with like 20 million subscribers. Mm-hmm, yeah. And I remember the first person hitting like 100,000 subscribers on YouTube and how big of a deal that was for everyone.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's just like getting so, so, so massive now. Yeah. It's crazy.
Hey, got some good news. Yeah. Kel is here directly after this show.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's good to know, isn't
it? More sweaty palms.
That's right, yeah. So we're going to play Talk Me Down now. Tell me about Talk Me Down.
Okay, so Talk Me Down is a song that I wrote maybe a year ago now. And basically, it started with this lyric of, I want to sleep next to you, but that's all I want to do right now. And it's kind of just about like wanting those comforts of a relationship, like, you know, coming home to the person and sleeping with the person and like getting to hold their hand and do whatever else you do in a relationship with a person. Mm. But kind of thinking that maybe in the back of your mind, things aren't really right and kind of walking that line and how awkward and horrible and heartbreaking it is.
Okay. All right, so let's play it. It's Troye Sivan.
Nice and bright for the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Gloomy Friday.
Yep.
No, it's all good. This is Talk Me Down. It's brand new music from Troye on BBC Radio 1.
I want to sleep next to you, but that's all I want to do right now. And I want to come home to you, but home is just a room full of my safest sounds.
The Scott Mills Daily.
New music from Troye Sivan, that's Talk Me Down on BBC Radio 1. You might want to check out our Snapchat right now, BBC R1, where Troy's been trying out some super beautiful Snapchat filters. What have you been, what's your favourite one?
Oh, I just did the one that gives you a beard, and it makes me so uncomfortable. I need to never, ever grow facial hair.
No, I disagree, actually. I think the one with the beard's good.
You think it
Yeah,
looks
I actually
right.
think you suit the beard. Yeah. I didn't think you would. I thought you'd look well
There was one where you
well
looked
rough.
Really pretty. Oh, what was that one?
It's the glitter with the pink lipstick, which is a look that I've tried in real life. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm open to it because I actually like the way it looks.
BBC R1 on Snapchat. So that was Talk Me Down from the album. Also, just going through other songs on the album, the song Bite on the album, is that about your first time in a gay club?
It is, yeah.
What actually was that like?
So I wanted to kind of like capture, I was petrified. Yeah. I was absolutely terrified. But like so curious and excited at the same time. And like, I remember it was a very, very, very dodgy club that I went into, and I went with my friends.
Where was it?
It was in Cape Town in South Africa.
Yeah.
And we walked in, and it was one of those places where you literally have to like peel your feet off the ground as you're walking because the floor's so like sticky from just drinks. And
I've been to a gay club in Cape Town, and I felt, it just felt a bit edgy to me.
It was super dark.
Yeah.
And
sticky situation.
It was a very sticky situation. Yeah. And so, I mean, I ended up having the time of my life. Like, I had such a good night. But I wanted to capture kind of like that vulnerability and innocence and like that curiosity and everything. Yeah.
You know, when you came out, were you worried about it at all?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Especially when I came out to my parents. I came out to my parents when I was 15, and it was like, probably the scariest thing I've ever had to do ever. But I mean,
I think it is, yeah.
My family were just so, so, so supportive and amazing, and yeah, I haven't had a day's trouble, thank God. So, yeah.
See, it's the same with me. Like, I came out to my parents, but then, like, when I joined Radio 1, I just thought that I should probably just put it out there quite early.
Right.
But I was terrified about it.
How like, did you do it?
I just did a magazine article.
Oh, right.
And, did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I just put it in. It was like a newspaper, like, part of a magazine newspaper thing. So yeah.
Was it like the cover shoot, like, I'm gay on the cover, or...?
Yeah. Wait, not really. It was kind of tucked away.
Right.
And also, I was on, like, a really early morning show then, so no one knew who I was.
You know, right. What? It's mad you've got to declare it, though, like that.
Yeah.
I haven't had to do that.
No, but it felt like that at the time. I was like... I remember... like ringing my mum and going, oh, by the way, this is going to come out tomorrow. Obviously, she knew about it already, but I was like, tomorrow's the day where it's going to be released in the paper. And I just was terrified.
Yeah.
Terrified. But obviously, you came out to your parents. What about when you actually came out to the world? Was that scarier or not?
It wasn't necessarily scary. I think at that point, I came out to my parents when I was 15, and then I came out sort of online when I was, I think, 17.
Yeah.
And... So I had some time to, like, all of my friends knew, my family knew. I was so comfortable with myself by that point, and really, really felt like, it kind of felt exactly the same as when I wanted to come out to my friends. It was just like, all right, well, I'm not ashamed of this.
Yeah.
I'm sort of, like, accepted this within myself, and these are people that I care about, and I don't want to feel like I'm lying. And that's sort of the same way that I felt with my audience. I was just like, I feel like they're going to be fine with this, and I feel close enough with them that I just kind of want to share this information and sort of get it out of the way. And so... I did it, and I think it's like been one of the best decisions I've made for sure.
Is it true that there were two moments on TV where you thought, I'm gay?
Two moments on... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, when I was younger, when I was watching, just like, I saw like boys kissing on the TV or something like that, and yeah, frantically changed the channel because of that.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm here with my mom.
Yeah, it was really, really scary. But I think that just kind of shows how important like good representation in the media is, you know, because I remember those two moments super, super clearly. And so I reckon the more we can try and kind of, and they were, you know, obviously they were terrifying because it kind of was confronting that I had to all of a sudden think about that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was so comforting to just know that like, oh, at least there's like some people in the world who are like this and like me, you know?
Yeah, cool. Hey, listen, we've been asking people to get in touch with the hashtag Troy on Mills. And believe me, they really have.
Oh, good.
So Quintrix says, are there any British artists that you would love to collaborate with?
It's been a really long time coming. I want to do something with MNEK. We've sort of like done stuff digitally.
That'd be awesome.
And like known each other for a while. And yeah, I'd love to do some stuff with him.
A lot of your fans also seem to want you to duet with Ollie from Years and Years.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Have you reached out to him?
Not about like music necessarily. We're like... fairly close, but yeah, we haven't done anything.
I think your voices would sound good together.
It'd be really, really fun.
Yeah.
Do you get to see him whilst you're in the UK?
No, I don't know where he is right now.
Yeah,
he's always...
good point. He might be off. Anywhere in the world. Yeah.
He tweeted us the other day. He's in.
Oh yes,
he was at Coachella and now he's in Texas.
Oh okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. So also we've got. Here we go. Will you make another YouTube video soon? That's from Potter Thoughts 6.
I really, really should. I need to just like sit down and update everyone about life, like what's been going on. There's been so much stuff going on. And I sort of just need to like sit down and catch everyone up.
Probably the way for you to do it is literally just go through your phone. Because I imagine wherever you go, you take loads of pictures.
Yeah.
And also with the best friend in the world, you live such an amazing life that you probably, if you sat down and did a video, you'd forget so much of the stuff that you've done.
Right.
Maybe just go through all your pictures. Because I bet you've got some amazing ones on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to get a production credit. If I do have any ideas.
Awesome. Woo.
Lucy says, when you were away from home for such a long time, where is home, by the way?
Home's in Perth, in Australia.
Okay, but is that where you live now?
Yeah, yeah, right. With my parents.
Cool. Okay. Lucy says, do you ever get lonely when you're on the road?
Not really. I mean, there's times, yeah, but I think you start to like instead of taking comfort in like coming home to your family and sleeping in your bed, you take comfort in like seeing your band every day and like small, really, really small things. I have like a candle that I light in most places that I go so that everywhere sort of smells the same.
Oh, and that's quite cool.
I re-got a blankie. Like I had a blankie when I was a little kid and now I've got a blankie again, the same, so that I sleep with the same blanket every night.
Yeah.
And just
I love
like
blankie.
Like
we don't have blankie, do we?
No, mate, you should have whipped out your candle when you got here.
Right.
You should have felt free.
No, yeah. And
light
just
it up.
Worn my blanket like a cape. That's what I do most of the time.
But it's quite a comfort thing, isn't it?
No, it is. And it's just nice to like have, the familiar scent and the familiar feeling every night. Because otherwise it's like, you know, completely foreign. But yeah, I take comfort in like room service and stuff like that.
What do you mean when they deliver room service? That's like, your friend.
It feels
that's brilliant.
No, but like I know what you mean. You can spend hours like looking at that menu. Oh, what shall I have? It's totally. Just a little treat, right?
No, and it's so comforting to eat that kind of thing in like bed and take a bath. That's nice.
Yeah, it's just the luxury of a hotel.
It is.
Okay, so Bubbly Melt says, who is the most famous contact that you have in your phone?
Oh, that's a good question. I really have no idea.
It depends who you think is really famous, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm mates with Camila from Fifth Harmony.
Love.
She's really, really sweet. I was texting with Meghan Trainor the other day, which is cool.
Are they WhatsApp contacts or are they like, are you texting? As in, no, is there a group of you guys?
Can you WhatsApp?
Oh my God, how fun would that be?
Yeah.
No.
Just
no.
Set it up.
Yeah, I should. But other than that, just like, I'm really good mates with Alessia Cara.
Oh, I like her a lot.
Yeah, awesome. I love her.
Yeah. Someone says, this is Troy at Ease on Twitter. What are your goals for this year?
My goals for this year are to. I'm just having so much fun playing these shows. I just played two shows in London and they've been such a good time and they're just getting funner and funner because I think I'm getting more and more like comfortable. I want to keep playing shows. I'm going to be doing festivals this year, which is so exciting.
I know. I saw
doing V-Fest.
Yeah, I saw V-Fest just said about that on Twitter.
Yeah, so V-Fest and just like a bunch of really, really exciting stuff that hasn't been announced as well. So yeah, just lots of playing live. And then as well, I want to start kind of writing again and get back into that.
Is festivals new for you?
Yeah. I played South by Southwest in Texas a couple of weeks ago, and that was my first time doing any sort of like festival. It's all going to be really new.
Perry says, what's your favorite lyric off the Blue Neighborhood album and why?
It's not necessarily my favorite. It's one of my favorites. I guess it's just really, really sad. It's, so what are you waiting for? Because someone could love you more. I've always just like, it was just like when I wrote that, I was like, ooh, that cuts deep. That's like really real.
Okay. And what's your favorite song to play live, says Beth?
I've got one song called Heaven that I wrote about my coming out experience. And it was weird because, you know, everyone always says that I'm like I write about LGBT issues and stuff like that. But I actually don't really. I write about just like love and stuff like that. I just happen to like boys. But Heaven was like the one and only time that I ever specifically wrote about having to come out. Mm. And I wrote it and like really liked the song, and obviously it was super, super personal to me, but then I sort of just like not forgot about it, but left it. And then I started playing it live and seeing the reaction from the audience to that song and seeing the audience sing those lyrics back to me was so, so, so impactful for me and like really, really was a life-changing moment for me. So now it's like my favorite song to sing every night.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Troy, thank you so much for being with us today.
No, thank you guys.
Absolute pleasure. What are your plans for the rest of the day?
For the rest of the day, I have a photo shoot today, and then I'm going to Birmingham.
Do you like those photo shoots?
Yeah, they're fun for me because I get to wear like cool clothes, and I like, you know, working with cool photographers and stuff.
Yeah. I find that. Do you find that they try and put you at ease? They're like, "What's your favorite song? Put your favorite song."
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. No, I'm getting more and more. I feel like you really just have to fake it till you make it with that kind of thing. Like, at first, I felt like such a douche, just like doing all of that stuff. But now it's just like, you know, blue steel it up a little bit, have some fun.
Bit of pout.
100%.
Ben and Darby says, if I was Cal Spellman, regardless of my sexuality right now, I would be winning.
I'm so embarrassed.
No, don't be embarrassed. What's happening. He'll be here soon. What do you think the first thing you're going to say to Cal is right now?
I just really hope he hasn't. I'm just going to pretend like nothing's happened.
You can't do that.
Hi.
Wait, does he know?
Yeah, of course.
Of course he knows.
Just text me. Text me right now.
Well, now I really don't know. Now I just might leave.
Well, okay. No, don't leave. Oh,
I don't know if I'm going to do
really
this anymore.
Embarrassed.
Why don't you, look, why don't you have breakfast together, have a lovely sausage sandwich, and just chat it out?
I seriously I have crazy social anxiety right now.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why don't you, how can we make this
is
easy?
So weird.
I know, but how can we make it easier on air now? So to smooth
just
it
like
over.
A shot of whiskey, maybe.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I quite like the idea that you just pretend you've said nothing.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. That's 100% the game plan.
What? So like he'll walk in and be like, "I am."
No, you know what? I'm actually going to play hard to get. I'm just going to be like, "Hey, dude, what's up?"
And yeah, do
away.
That.
Do it.
100% do that.
That's
right,
the goal.
Good. Thank you, Troy.
Thanks.
Good luck with Kel later.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Alan Shearer's coming in after 9.
So excited.
Literally, this is
Chris's favourite day at Radio 1 probably ever.
Oh, this is mad. Do you know, like, he's so much of a childhood hero of mine. When I was really, really young, I used to do his celebration all over the place. Like, he was the footballer I wanted to be when I was in the playground.
Oh.
So this is such an amazing day that he's coming in.
And also, how good was Troye Sivan? Amazing.
Yeah, really inspirational. I thought some of the stuff he said, I thought was really, really interesting.
I just really like him.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah. And next on the conveyor belt of people, Ali Plum. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very good.
So Ali is here to talk about all of the movies that you might want to go and watch this weekend. Any good ones?
There are some, let's just call them ones, that I want to talk about later. But before we do anything, you know how last week I asked you guys if you could whip out the show and tell horn?
Yeah.
Could you whip out something else for me? I've got a game which I like to call movie reel or no movie reel.
Okay. You want the music?
If that's all right.
Hang on. Go.
So, here's how it goes. I've got a list of planned movies that are based on totally bizarre properties, be they games, toys, or random old TV shows, or whatever. Okay. This is a year, by the way, 2016, where we've got Angry Birds the movie, a Trolls movie, and a movie based on storks delivering babies. So that's where we're at.
Okay.
So, here are some of the random ones. Are they movie real or no movie real? Number one, quickfire round, Monopoly.
Real.
Oh, real. I heard about this.
Movie real.
Totally real. Ridley Scott, legendary director, is behind it.
How's that going to work? Yeah,
exactly.
It's just not. Where's Wally?
Oh, please, no, please say real.
No, what are you saying?
Well, I don't think it's real.
I'm saying no real.
It is movie
no
real.
Oh, yes.
And Seth Rogen of Bad Neighbours fame is producing it.
So someone's on the search for Wally, I assume.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough audition, I bet. Right, Stretch Armstrong.
No, I'm not having that.
This is basically no real, but it is on TV.
Okay.
Playmobil.
I mean, I think you know where we're going with this. I think you think they're all no real, but actually they might be real.
Real.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Wow.
This one you're going to think I'm pulling your leg, and maybe I am. Play-Doh.
That's not a movie, no.
Scott, that is a movie.
No!
Play-Doh. Coming to a cinema near you. Play-Doh.
Wow.
And finally, Teletubbies.
Oh, yeah, real.
No, that's no real.
Oh.
You maniac.
So you can make a movie about Play-Doh, but not Teletubbies.
That's the way Hollywood is thinking. But what's out in the cinema this week? This is where I step in and do my actual job.
Yes.
There is a film called Bastille Day. This is an action thriller starring Big Driss himself, Idris Elba, who's obviously best known for Lofer and the Thor movies and The Wire, and also Richard Madden, who's best known for playing Robb Stark in Game of Thrones.
Right.
It's about a CIA agent, Elba, who's forced to team up with a professional pickpocket, Madden, for just to take down some terrorists in Paris for reasons just too complicated to explain on air. But it is, without a doubt, the most three-star film I've ever seen so far this year. But if you're looking for a perfectly serviceable Friday night popcorn fodder actioner, this is the one for you. And we've got an interview that's going to be played tomorrow on Dev's Breakfast Show. And here's a little clip of him speaking to Idris Elba and Richard Madden. And just to warn you, Dev gets a little bit weird.
Apparently he didn't have the best start to this interview, so let's hear it.
This is such a special time for me. Richard, I don't want you to feel left out at any point in this interview. Not that I'm not excited to meet you, Richard, right? But I think I'm 28% more, a little bit more excited to meet Idris, only because... That's the wrong way to start an interview,
no,
isn't
that's
it?
No, that's a good thing by me.
I've rubbed
I'm
you out the wrong way.
I'm more excited to meet you than you. I know, I understand.
I've rubbed you out the wrong way, haven't I, Richard?
Absolutely, this interview's over for me.
I apologise. Do you want to go? Just be me.
No,
just, no, I'm just joking. I'm just, honestly, I'm winding away.
I'm 20% excited to be sitting beside this.
Oh, why would you say that?
That's just ridiculous.
It was like watching an accident.
Why would you do that?
It was incredible. But anyway, there's more of that, and it gets a bit better tomorrow on Dev's Breakfast Show.
Wow, okay, I can't wait for that.
But look, I'll be back in just a little bit to talk a bit more about these totally insane movies that Hollywood's got planned.
Got you, all right. Back in a sec with Ali.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Ali Plumstead with movies. It sounds like there's some great ideas coming out of Hollywood right now, Ali.
Really amazing, terrible ideas coming out from Hollywood. We just talked about some of the ridiculous ideas, including the emoji movie. That's right, the emoji movie.
Please.
I've got this amazing quote from a very serious person from Hollywood. This is Sony Pictures Animation President Christine Belson, who has used this quote to explain what the emoji movie will involve.
So this is like one of the most important people in cinema.
Certainly for animated movies.
Okay.
For sure. So, inside your phone, there's a secret world, and we enter through the text app where we discover Emoji Valley, where the industrious emoji live and work. Now, this is bananas.
Right.
They're making an emoji movie, and so it's an animated film, so naturally they're going to get overpaid people, celebrities, to play the emoji. And I want to ask you guys... who should play what?
I've got
a few suggestions to kick things off. Kim Kardashian has to be painting fingernails emoji.
100% yes. Yep.
Can be no doubt.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus has to be one eye winking with tongue sticking out.
Yes.
Emoji. All right.
Totally.
Selena Gomez, and this is a bit left field, girl dancing in a red dress.
Yes.
Kate Middleton.
You're so right.
Kate Middleton is a dead cert for princess. Just, I know she's like kind of not now. She's a duchess or whatever.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
And Taylor Swift as hands to face scream emoji.
Yes. Mm. And Charlie Sloth as moon face emoji.
Who's playing Smiley Pooh?
That's the big role. Yeah. That's a really big role. I think that's probably going to lead the whole film. So we've got to get someone really good. I'm thinking Daniel Day-Lewis, Patrick Stewart, some real serious
Patrick
acting
Stewart
talent.
Would be awesome.
When is this emoji film coming out then?
It's in production, so it should be like either next year, basically late next year is the plan.
Crazy.
One I just thought of is Leonardo DiCaprio as smug shades emoji.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
That needs to happen. But what about ghost with a big black eye that reminds me of a Dalmatian? What's the ghost emoji going to be? You're going to need someone pretty good to play a ghost.
This is tricky. This is a hard game.
What about dancers with bunny ears? Could Anton Deck finally get the role they deserve? I think that would really work. So anyway, do obviously tweet in, text in, let us know who you reckon should play what, because I think, just so you guys know, the emoji movie's got my new big thing.
It's one of those things that sounds, when you first mentioned it, sounds rubbish.
Yeah.
But actually, the more I think about it, film stars playing emojis could be quite funny.
It could be funny.
People are texting already and tweeting in. Russell Brand, aubergine emoji.
Quality idea.
Elijah Wood for ghost emoji. That's
yes.
Good.
That's nice.
That's quite good, actually.
Look, I just want to leave you on one last thing, which is if you're a Star Wars fan, Star Wars The Force Awakens is finally out on DVD and Blu-ray. So if you don't want to watch Bastille Day, you're not sure what to watch on the telly, I recommend checking out the Blu-ray or DVD of Star Wars The Force Awakens, because it's finally here!
Yeah.
And for nerds like me, that's a big deal.
Excellent. Thank you, Ali, for this morning.
My pleasure.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Very busy morning, and I'm very pleased to welcome Alan Shearer to the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Good morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is literally the best
this
day
the best.
Of Chris's life. Honestly.
It's Alan Shearer.
I know. Like, if I've been friends with you for, what, probably like 8, 9 years now. If I could have told you when I first met you that you'd be meeting an Alan Shearer and be on Radio 1, you'd
it doesn't
be like,
get better.
You'd be like, that's not true.
The thing is, football for me and Scott is a bit of a strange one because Scott's not the biggest football fan, but obviously, as my friend, he tries to sort of humour me with it. So
I don't humour you, I just try and I don't really get it.
He tries to get involved, like he keeps an eye on Watford and will text me saying, yeah. Oh, Watford have done all right today.
Or, like, do you remember at the weekend, I do try and keep in with it. I text him going, Villa are off.
Yeah.
Villa are off.
Yeah.
It's not a laughing matter, of course.
No, of course. But it's I do try and keep in. So obviously it's the FA Cup semi-finals this weekend. On Saturday, it's Everton versus Man United. That's going to be live on BBC One. Kick-off 5:15, presented by Gary Lineker. Alan, you'll be there as well.
I will.
And then on Sunday, it's the other semi-final, which is Crystal Palace versus Watford. A big one for you, Chris.
Huge. Because obviously I'm a Watford fan, right? So do you think...
What do you think?
Well, that's
the
what
tough
I'm going
to ask
you.
Tough one to call, isn't it, that one? Yeah,
do you think
Watford?
We'll win the FA Cup?
No, I don't.
Oh!
Sorry.
I didn't
the
expect
underdogs.
You to say that.
Mind you, it is the season of the underdog, isn't it?
So, that burns.
Who do you think will win?
Well, the other team?
Yeah, I think Man
United.
Well,
no, because it's a semi-final, Scott. So are you saying Watford won't beat Palace?
I think it's going to be a tough call. Both teams, Palace and Watford, are not in great form at this moment in time, are they? So I think Palace might just nick you. Sorry.
I love this.
You see, I just think when you got all the Watford fans there, bright colours, it'll be loud.
It will be. But there will be
Troy
Palace
Deeney
fans there
is
going to well.
March out. It's going to be...
There's your hope, isn't it?
Troy Deeney.
Igalo and Troy Deeney have been fantastic.
What do you reckon to this, Scott?
I agree with Alan.
Yeah. Yeah?
No, I don't know. How do I know? I don't know. But I wish you the best of luck because I know how passionate you are about
it. Yeah, it's really important.
You love Watford, eh?
Yeah, proper
so
love
much.
Yeah.
Has Chris told you about his injuries from when he played football 2 days ago?
He just had his scars out. He's just lifted his jeans up and showed me his grass burns.
Alan, it's been nothing but that since. He's like, oh, I played football last night. Oh, it's burning so much. And today, it's like you can't walk.
I'm just a bit out of practice. You know how it is, Alan.
Does this happen, Alan?
Tell me about it.
It just came up, actually, on Twitter. Was it this very day 10 years ago that you retired from football?
It is, yes. 10 years, where's it gone? I had a bit of hair then some 10 years ago. I last ever kick of a football was last weekend, penalty against Sunderland. I thought I'd get that in. And then, yeah, retired a few days later, so 10 years ago.
So,
me.
I know, obviously, you've retired from professional football, but you must still have a kick about, right?
Well, I have done, only for charity purposes. Played in a sport relief five-a-side for 3 days a few weeks ago. And believe it or not, I've still got the bruises and what have you now. So, but my knees and my ankles are just, well, they're shot to pieces, unfortunately. So I don't really play football anymore.
Yeah, but it's mad when, because I saw some of that stuff, and when you score and you still do your celebration... That's mad for me because there was Euro 96 and all that kind of time where like I used to run around the playground doing your celebration. Like everyone wanted to be Alan Shearer.
If people don't know about the celebration, tell us about it.
Well, it's very simple.
It was very simple. There's not a lot to it. It was just the arm in the air. That was all.
Yeah. Okay. But it really caught on. And and I remember...
Well, it happened 422 times, so it worked.
Yeah.
Yes.
Slay Alan. but no, I used to do that celebration. Then I watched you do the five-a-side thing for Sport Relief.
Yeah.
And you scored and you still whipped out the celebration. And it's...
Got to be done. Had to be done.
But you've still got the touch, right? You still...
Yeah, I mean, you can't run anymore. That's the only thing.
Oh, is it all knackered, Alan?
Yeah, my knees. I had three serious operations. One on my right knee, one on my left knee, and one on my right ankle. So, and kept me out for 6 or 7 months at a time, all three of them. So, they're a bit sore.
Do you enjoy doing the coverage? I mean, do you like doing the TV stuff?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, how lucky am I? I got paid to play football for a living, and now I do it talking about football. So yeah. I'm one hell of a lucky guy. I absolutely love what I'm doing, passionate about it, and I love
it. But now you're on TV, have you set your sights on other things? I say, like, host the National Lottery. What else, Scott? What else could Alan do?
Lottery. I'm saying Saturday Night Quiz.
I've already won the lottery, haven't I, by actually talking about football on TV. So,
what about Love Island or something?
No, I'll pass on that.
What about The Jungle?
No, thanks.
No?
No, the two guys, they keep on ringing me every year, trying to get me on that.
What, Anton Deck?
I politely decline.
I've got it. X Factor, host.
No. Oh, host, maybe, yeah. I've got it, Alan.
Singing, then.
What about Strictly?
Strictly is my worst nightmare. No chance.
Welcome to my world. It was actually quite fun, but you wouldn't do it, no?
Nah, I couldn't do that. No chance. Dancing? Really? Not for me.
No.
Singing, I'm all right.
Oh, maybe it's that.
Well, we really want to test something because it's interesting you two kind of worlds colliding, really. Yeah. But there is this new Meghan Trainor song out, right? Which, when you listen to it, you can't help but get a little bit sassy.
It's a really sassy song.
Okay.
So what we're going to do on Radio 1 Snapchat in a minute, I think, is we'll see how Alan reacts. We'll play it to him off air.
Just interested. I mean, it might be no reaction whatsoever, but it'd be interesting to see.
But it's quite hard not to do a bit of like, girlfriend. So let's see what happens on BBC R1 Snapchat in a minute when we play Alan, Meghan Trainor. Maybe we'll get some sassy Shearer today. Who knows? I will...
This is when I need my daughter around, Holly. Yeah. She's the singer.
No, I mean, there might not be any reaction. You'd have to sing. I'm just interested to see what the body language will be.
Okay.
I'm going to try a football question now. I'm going in. You've won the Premier League. Will Leicester win the Premier League?
Yes.
Why?
Because I just think it's been refreshing. I think it's been, if they do, it'll be the biggest and best thing ever in football. I was lucky enough to win it with Blackburn in 95. But if Leicester were to win it with their resources and with the big boys that are in football, the money that's been spent in football from the big boys, Man United, Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, and if Leicester were to come in and conquer and take these boys and beat these boys, it would just be one hell of a story. And it just gives everyone else hope, doesn't it? All the smaller clubs, it gives them all hope.
Yeah, but even if Tottenham win it, because Tottenham are close behind, Scott. I'm trying to think of this in sort of Eurovision terms.
Yeah.
But in points-wise, you know, Leicester are ahead, but the points are starting to come in for Tottenham.
Mm. Right.
I think Tottenham will win it, actually. I think Tottenham could go on and win every game now till the end of the season.
What do you mean? You said Leicester.
But I still think Leicester. No, I think Leicester will win every. Sorry, Tottenham will win every game they play in between now and the end of the season. But I just think Leicester will still have enough.
Is it hard when you're constantly talking about football? You're always going to be upsetting groups of fans.
Yeah, that's the problem. You're never going to please everyone, are you? So,
hey, Alan, I think I've got the perfect show for you.
Go on.
Geordie Shaw. Come on. It's got to happen. Also, I've got to tell you, our newsreader today, whose name is Anna, is she here?
Yes, she's here.
Oh, hi. Hello. There you are.
Hi, Anna.
Is literally, like, you're her hero.
You are.
Oh, thank
Alan
you.
Alan Shearer, you really are. Oh,
thank you.
This is a big day for me.
No, she didn't know you were coming in until I said it just before the 7:30 news.
And then the whole disappoint you.
I mean, I've got to be honest, the whole of the 7:30 news was a mess because you were so like, oh God, Alan Shearer's going to be here.
Well, I thought he might be listening. Alan Shearer might be on air. He might be listening to me right this second.
Because you're from that area, aren't you?
I am. I'm from Morpeth.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
is that the posh area?
Well, poshish.
Poshish, okay.
And I've grew up and I used to watch you growing up and the celebration.
Absolutely.
We used to all do it in the
I'm
playground.
Not that, please tell me I'm not that old, am I?
Well, I think I've wanted to meet you for about 20 years.
Oh, right,
so.
Okay, I am that old then.
So what do you want to ask, Anna?
Oh my God. So many questions.
Fire away.
No pressure.
This is like watching someone meet One Direction.
I honestly don't get this.
Will
normally.
You marry me? Sort of thing.
Yeah, will you marry me?
No, she really is a fan, Alan.
A question. I don't know. What bands do you listen to? Do you like anyone on Radio 1?
Well, believe it or not, I'm a huge Ed Sheeran fan. I was very fortunate enough to have Ed come and play at my foundation ball 2 or 3 months ago. And he came, we raised a lot of money for it. It was a great cause. So I'm a huge Ed Sheeran fan. I actually took him to the football. I took him to Newcastle's game on the Saturday afternoon. And like you, Scott, he didn't know a lot about football. So we sat down in the stadium.
He didn't.
And I got in there and I had all this posh food sorted out for him in the box. And we walked in. And then his first words were, can I have a proper meat match pie? I think I've got all this posh food sorted out.
And he wanted a pie.
And he said to me, what league is this again?
Amazing. Oh no, that would be me. Oh, no.
But we won, so you'd have to come again.
Right, we'll be back with Alan Shearer in a minute. The Scott Mills Daily. Wow, BBC Radio on Snapchat, I'm all over that right now. Alan, I did not expect you to get down like that to Meghan Trainor.
Bit of head movement.
Really good.
That is one of the best videos I've potentially ever seen. One that easily probably wins Snapchat today, I would say.
Get Radio 1 on Snapchat, BBC R1. Alan Shearer is with us ahead of the FA Cup semi-finals this weekend. We do this thing called Bangers, normally in the afternoon, Alan.
Okay.
And it's just two tracks. I choose one, Chris chooses one. We don't know what each other have chosen. And then someone comes on and chooses a song.
Hmm.
And it makes everyone's day. Could you do that for us today?
I'd love
to. We're kind of running out of time. Okay, here we go.
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
We'll do it like normal. Hello, Radio 1. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Alan.
Hi, Alan. And what do you do?
Do a bit in TV.
Okay, and what did you used to do?
I used to kick a ball around for a living.
Oh, okay, and who was that for?
Newcastle, Blackburn, Southampton, England.
And were you good at it?
I was all right.
Okay.
Bad.
Right, me and Chris have got a song each here. I will start with my one. And this is what I've got for you, Alan. Pound the Alarm. Nicki Minaj, one of your favourites, right?
Love it.
I know. Ahead, are we moving again? Come on, this is a Friday tune and a half.
This is actually happening, right?
Pound the Alarm. Or Chris.
Well, Alan, I know you've got a big weekend ahead, right? You just kill me. And after insulting Watford Football Club by saying they're not going to win this weekend, which they definitely are, you've got to pick this. It's Swedish House Mafia featuring Pharrell. One, Your Name.
Oh.
Tune.
I've forgotten about this.
Good.
It is a proper bit of you, this, Alan.
Okay. Alan has to decide now.
What's
the banger?
Swedish House Mafia.
I mean...
Bosh.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh.
Get in.
Is that it?
Have some of that.
But what about Nicki Minaj?
It was good, but not quite as good.
Yeah, exactly. 4-1, Scott. Okay. 4-1 this week.
All right, then. I'll pick up my game again next week. Good choice, Chris. I've got to hand it to you.
Cheers, mate.
That is Swedish House Mafia, One, Your Name. I'd just forgotten about that song. What a great song. How good was Alan Shearer?
It's a bit cringe if he's listening to this. That was the best thing ever.
Are you done?
What a legend.
Should I stick a fork in you?
I'm kind of done now, I think.
That was great.
Like, I just want to go out now. I've got that feeling.
Wait, it's Friday.
What a nice guy as well.
But seriously, what a great morning. We've had, like, Troy Sivan was incredible, really inspirational, so nice. Alan Shearer, you hoped that he would be nice because he's a hero of yours. 100% a great guy. So good.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Those are Friday's best bits. We're back in for Grimmie on Monday from 6:30. And our guest at 8 a.m. is Bear Grylls. Scott Mills, BBC Radio.